been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Plat.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, I guess we have to talk about last Sunday. Didn't that suck? Well, it was weird. It was like a great first half, and then the second half just kind of happened. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, the birthday boy, my buddy, Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Just like Marcus Peters, I got nothing for y'all. I'm staying quiet.
I had a great birthday, man. You had a great birthday, though. So the Ravens like didn't give you a present, but you still had a good birthday.
Well, they gave me a present, all right. Big pile of stinky doo-doo. Bro, I told you, this is the last podcast I'm doing. I'm defecting to What the Puck. I'm covering hockey. I'm done with this thing, man. I'm done. No more football. I can't. I've never... In a good 4-week stretch, I mean, the losing streak was bad last year, right? But the Ravens didn't have a lot of pieces, so I understood that. But this, in the time that we podcasted together, I don't think there has been a darker time. I don't think there's been a darker time. I mean, can you remember a darker time in this team's history over the last 2 weeks of this mess? Like, I can't recall. I mean, again, the losing streak last year after starting 8-3 was abysmal, but I understand it. So what say you? I mean, is this up there the most disgusting and embarrassing stretch of Ravens football?
In the Harbaugh era, absolutely. This has been some of the worst that we've seen. Like back in like the Brian Billick days, I mean, when he was kind of let go, we kind of saw the writing on the wall. And I mention that because there is some writing on the wall that, you know, maybe this isn't working as the way it should. This game, like you said, last year, all right, Lamar wasn't in. That's the problem. We had that losing streak. It was expected. Same thing happened during the 20th anniversary when Joe Flacco went down and they wore mustard pants. Like, things weren't looking good in many ways. But this was supposed to be a bounce back year. This was supposed to be the big Lamar show. This was going to be everyone was going to be like, oh, these underdogs, they're finally back. You know, they're finally back to playing Ravens football, and they are playing Ravens football. They play in spurts, it looks like. So this game, let's start at the beginning. Let's just start at the beginning. Let's not talk about that call on fourth down until we get through the rest of the game. So the beginning of the game, I'm impressed with the Ravens. I mean, the first half, I was like, holy crap, like these guys, they're coming out. Like they're showing off. They're in front of their hometown crowd. J.K. Dobbins is having a great game. Lamar's looking good. I mean, he's dodging Von Miller. He's getting the plays off anyway. He's throwing the ball. He's looking good. The defense was holding up. I mean, the Bills only were able to score 3 points in the first half. This first half looks so good. But then at the end of that first half, the Buffalo Bills are able to get a touchdown at the very end. And I'm like, all right, if the Ravens can score here, go into the half, score again, they're going to build on this lead even better than what they had, and this game will be in the bag. When that final play for the offense happened at the end of the first half and they didn't really do anything, I was like, uh-oh. I think we're kind of giving the momentum back to the Buffalo Bills, and the Buffalo Bills are able to score and go into the locker room going, this game's not over. We got plenty to do. We can do this. And they did, and they came out and they did it. But that was the first half. Like, what, you were live, you were there, you were at the bank. What was it like seeing this first half of Ravens football in the rain against the Buffalo Bills, this team that, you know, we're going to have to go through if we want to get to the Super Bowl in the postseason, if we make the postseason the way they're playing. What was it like there? What was it like live? What were your thoughts during the first half?
What was like live? You know, it was wet, it was soggy.
At the beginning of the game, though, like it wasn't really raining, right? Like that kind of showed up as the game progressed, right?
Yeah, no, tailgating, we were actually dry, which was fantastic. And then literally like right around kickoff, the light rain happened and then the heavy rain happened around the third quarter. And then it kind of stopped in the fourth quarter. It was a weird day, but still wet. I mean, look, you know, I had a blast in the stand. You know, I was sitting, you know, between my dad and my best friends, and we had a great time, right? And I was actually pretty annoyed because, you know, there was a large contingent of Bills Mafia down on the lower level, it seemed. Because, like, along the Bills sideline, like, you could definitely hear them. I'm sure you could probably hear them on TV. Like, they were loud.
Yeah.
I was actually more highly concerned when I was tailgating and I seen busloads after busloads after busloads of Bills fans getting off the buses and, like, lining up on their own, like, tailgate there. And I'm like, yo, like, we're going to be taken over here. This is crazy. So... And during the first half, you know, you had to feel great, right? You know, the Ravens came out, Bills got the ball, you know, third play of the game, it's third down, they get the interception, you know, the Ravens punch it in, go up 7 within the first couple minutes of the game. You're like, man, we punched them square in the mouth, we're going to start fast, we're back, you know, Bills couldn't do nothing. I think it was Singletary, the running back, who fumbled it. You know, obviously Lamar or Allen already threw a pick. Lamar got the touchdown pass. You know, they go down again and score. Dobbins has the second touchdown of the day. Dobbins is back. You have to feel great. It's 20-3. Bills couldn't do nothing. Ravens, it's all Ravens, right? 18-point lead at home against the Bills. You're like, psh. You know, not to say you had it in the bag because we know the Dolphins game, but first half feeling really confident, right? But at the same respect, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, and boy, did it drop. Night and day. Right when we talked about it, right? Like you said you didn't want to go there, but you're like, look, when they drove the field in the final 2 minutes of that half and they scored a touchdown, you knew it was kind of over. It's like that momentum swing. Like, and I felt it. And you can feel it, right? Like,
I knew it. Watching on TV, when the Bills got that touchdown going into the half, I was like, well, they've got all the momentum right now. The Ravens are going to – the defense has got to show up.
The Ravens got the ball in the second half, so it's kind of like they did, but it didn't, because it's like, all right, the Ravens can go down a counter with another touchdown and make it 27-10. So, okay, now you bump it up to a 17-point lead. You know, that was the most frustrating part because, again, you know, the Dolphins – this, yeah, it was similar to the Dolphins game. They lost a big lead at home again. But going in the second half – it's like, did the Bills make adjustments, or what the Ravens didn't do is not score a second half point. I mean, it was 20-3 and the final score is 23-20. I mean, it was disgusting. Not only on a defensive side of ball again for not stopping the Bills like they were doing in the first half, but the inept of the offense of and the ability to close and get in the end zone. I mean, even going back to the first half on those two drives when they had the two field goals. You know, one of those field goals is a touchdown, game is over. Even if you go back to a time in 2019 where, remember Monday Night Football against the Rams? They were producing touchdown after touchdown. Every drive was a touchdown. It wasn't a field goal. It wasn't a fourth down stall. It was, they got the ball. They were going in for 7 no matter what. They imposed their will. You know, and we always point back to that year, right? 2019, you hear it all the time. No, 2019, they did this. 2019 was this. Because things were so successful, and it's like you want to build upon that, right? We want to go back to that and build upon that championship caliber team. But you know what I noticed here, and I'm going to talk about this right now. Why we talk about 2019 so much, even though we knew the end result, you know, was the Titans' home loss. You know, the Ravens don't have that swagger. You remember the Seattle game, the turning point in the season where it was 4th and 2. Harbaugh asked Lamar, do you want to go for this? And he said, yeah. Who had the ball? 8. He didn't throw it to somebody. He didn't hand it off to the back. eight got the first down and then got the touchdown in the same play. When the Ravens line up, when whether it's going for it on fourth down on goal or going for it for a fourth down play in the middle of the field, I feel like that swagger's not there. There's no confidence. And what I'm more upset about, fast-forwarding to the end sequence, I didn't like the personnel that was on the field. I didn't like the Ravens didn't seem confident. Why the heck is Mike Davis, of all players, on the field on a crucial fourth down and goal to go? Mike Davis, where's JK? Why is Lamar going back pass? What happened to Lamar running the football? Like, you look at the Bills touchdown that ended up sealing the fate, right? You know, Patrick Queen over pursues on a blitz and Allen pretty much runs for the touchdown. Like, that didn't happen on Sunday with Lamar. You know, I didn't like the fact that when it counted most, the plays weren't there or whatever. And I mean, I look at this upon execution of both offense and defense. It was both a collective effort collapse. If we run a really fast forward there in the second half, because obviously, look, defense couldn't stop the Bills from that late second quarter drive and on. And then the Ravens didn't score a second half point. They exhausted all their points in the first half. You know, at least in the Bills game, they scored the late touchdown in the third quarter and then got the field goal in the fourth quarter. So they were still putting points up in the second half, but lost the lead. But what's sickening is it just like it was a switch. Like it literally felt like a hybrid of the Super Bowl 47 game, right? Ravens were up 28 to 6. The lights go out, lights come back on, and the Niners, it was like the Ravens couldn't stop them. I'm like, they stopped them the whole first 2.5 quarters. Why are they now moving up? It just was that whole momentum shift. And you knew it. You were like, they're going to do it again. They're going to blow this game again. And the end result, you know, I just don't know. I mean, right now I'm searching for answers. I mean, look, the Ravens now have their secondary healthy and they're still bad in pass defense. Like, I don't know if it's this coordinator, but would you basically say that, would you go as far as saying in the offseason the wrong coordinator was let go? You know, look, it's four games in. I'm going to reserve judgment, but Mike McDonald right now hasn't seemed like he has an impact on this defense because, again, the defensive personnel are still relatively there, and they're bad. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to sound scattered, Brandon, but I just feel like I don't have an answer. I'm searching for answers, and I'm left so frustrated and disgusted that I'm like, I don't even know who to point the blame on or who's the problem. But in this game, focusing on this game, it's both offense and defense collective effort. Defense couldn't get one stop and get them off the field. Dude, they held the Bills to two touchdowns in the game, two, and they lost the game. You know, the Ravens had an 18-point lead and lost the game. The Ravens kicked two – let's just be very conservative. If Justin Tucker kicks two field goals in the second half, they win the game. Six more points. That's all it took. Now, the Bills weren't lighting up the score. They weren't scoring 30 points that game. The way the weather was going, all that, all the Ravens had to do was score like 24 to 27 points and game was over. But they couldn't do that. One more touchdown even on the board, game was over. When they were losing 20 to 13 and they had the ball, I told my dad, it was sitting there in the stands, I said, they score a touchdown here and go up 27 to 13, game's over. Like, if they put one score on the board, not three, they needed at least 6 to 7 to 10 range. That it would have been game over, and they couldn't do that. Very inept. You know, I don't know, man, but this one, they had this game again, and the team is so close. It's a difference of fine line between 4-0 and 500 football. I mean, this team could be undefeated with the Eagles right now in the NFL, and everybody be talking about them. Not, you know, unfortunately, the team's 2-2, but, you know, fast forwarding it, right? Biggest thing, because we're going back to last year with the 2-point conversions and all that. And John Harbaugh is getting, you know, if you look at the social media amongst Ravens Nation, Harbaugh's in the hot seat. What say you, man? Fast forward into the decision, taking the points, or are you going for it again? I can't believe we're talking about this again.
We're talking about it again.
Topic of the subject, but it seems like this is a recurring theme for Harbaugh. And then we can even break down, you know, because I'm going to get your thoughts on the coach in general. You know, is it time for a change or not? But let's start with the play. I mean, at the time, you know, given this game, given where they're at, I mean, right, right away. Are you agreeing with it, or are you screaming at the TV, take the points, or what's your thoughts on this? What say you? All right. Oh, that sounds like me last week when I was like, you ready? Let's unpack this.
Yeah, let's buckle in here. Okay.
Let's talk about this. What say you, man?
I don't think Harbaugh's the problem. I'll just flat out say that. I don't think Harbaugh's the problem. I like the fact that he went for it on fourth down. I'm putting the blame more on Lamar than Coach Harbaugh, because that fourth call. All right, remember last year, there's the shot of him on TV and he's screaming, "Lamar, Lamar, Lamar, you want to go for it? Okay, let's do it." And that worked out. And everyone said, "Oh, he's a genius. Look how much he trusts his players, yada, yada, yada." Did the same thing, like you brought up with Seattle. "Lamar, do you want to go for it?" "Yeah, I want the ball, coach. Let's go for it." And things worked out. And everyone was like, "Oh, this guy's a genius." Coach Harbaugh has more faith in Lamar than he does in the defense. And that's really scary, because if your coach doesn't believe you're any good on the field, then you're really not any good on the field. Harbaugh obviously has more faith in Lamar than he does in the defense, and that is evident. And I'm sure that doesn't do good for the morale of the defense or trusting the coach. Like, trust is a two-way street, and I don't think that the defense trusts Harbaugh. I don't think Harbaugh trusts the defense. Everyone's saying, why would you go for it on fourth down when you have the best kicker ever, Justin Tucker? Why wouldn't you go for the 3 points? He wanted to win the game. That's why. It's a winner's mentality. And Say Tucker gets those 3 points. Say the defense does what they did on Sunday and the Bills have 3 points. Then you have a couple minutes left on the clock, and then the offense comes out. They could have done something. They could have gotten a couple more points or whatever there, but you don't know. I think Lamar has that safety blanket of Mark Andrews, just as Joe Flacco did with Dennis Pitta. And what he did with the Steelers last year and what he did with the Buffalo Bills this past Sunday, same exact play. You know, everybody moves to the right. He looks for Mark Andrews. He throws it to Mark Andrews, and it doesn't work out. It's the same play. How come Lamar wasn't, you know, looking for a hole? You were that close. How come he's not using his legs? How come he's not trying end zone himself? What's going on there? You look at a guy like Kyle Murray when the game is on the line just a couple weeks ago. What was it, 2 weeks ago? And Kyler Murray got his big contract because he was able to finish that game. And the Arizona Coyotes were able to win that game because of Kyler Murray and his fast thinking. Lamar got frazzled. Lamar was frazzled that entire second half. I don't know if you remember this or not, and I specifically can't remember what, if it was the third quarter or the fourth quarter, but there was a delay of game penalty. And it was on Tyler Lindenbaum, and the clock, you know, ran out, and Lamar gets the ball. Tyler throws, hikes him the ball, and Lamar throws the ball down in frustration.
That, yeah.
That's when we lost the game. Everyone's going to talk about that fourth down when Lamar spiked that ball in frustration because they got a flag for a delay of game. That is when the game was lost. Lamar is an amazing quarterback. He really is, but he's showing right now that he's still got a lot of work to do as the leader of this team. The offense is great. It really is. Lamar is one of the best players that we've ever seen, especially here in Baltimore, one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. They're building the team around him. But Lamar, when he's under pressure, he buckles. We've seen it in the postseason every year he's been here. Last year, I mean, it was miracles. Remember that Indianapolis game? That was Lamar put this team on his back. That Seattle game in 2020, Lamar put this team on his back. 100% did. But when the game was on the line the last couple times, especially this past Sunday, Lamar buckled. He did, and it sucks. And I think Lamar has got all the talent in the world. He does not need to get frazzled, but he does. And that's what really scares me. Harbaugh, I think, has faith in Lamar. I think he was showing him he had faith in Lamar. Maybe he's seeing some of that frustration from Lamar. And he's like, look, the ball is in your hands. We got to win this game. We know we can do it with you. And Lamar hasn't been able to pull it off. Now, the other thing I also want to bring up besides that is that the defense at the end of that game, who was it? Was it Chuck Clark? who made that. Or no, it was Adafe Owe. It was Adafe Owe. I'm sorry. Adafe Owe had a fantastic first half, but Adafe Owe makes that final tackle to just let the Buffalo Bills run out the clock, and you see Calais Campbell throw his hands up into the air going, dude, what are you doing? They were just going to let them score, so the offense was going to come back onto the field. And there were, because there was like, what, a minute 15 left? And in football time, that's like 20 minutes because of all the times you get to stop the clock. But somebody on the defense is not communicating. Is that Chuck Clark who has the microphone saying, guys, we're just going to let them go into the end zone? Or is that the defensive coordinator going, guys, we got it? They weren't on the same page. They weren't. That's what Marcus Peters was so mad about at the end of the game, fighting with Harbaugh on the sidelines. You know, Harbaugh doesn't have faith in the defense. The defense is not on the same page because we've got some players going like, let him into the end zone, but you have Adafe Owe tackling the guy. Why was the game plan not shared with everybody on that field? And the offense is stagnant. You know, they play half games. They play 30 minutes, and then they don't know what to do. Lamar, he's gotta calm down. Lamar has to take these plays, and he has to, when he puts this team on his back, he can't get frazzled like we saw him on Sunday. The defense needs to get on the same page. They need to work together. And Harbaugh needs to show that he has faith in this defense, because Harbaugh is showing this defense now at 2 years in a row that I'm going with Lamar because I can't trust you guys. Everybody needs to work better. Everyone needs to communicate better, because this team is got so much talent on both sides of the ball and on special teams and in the coaching staff. Harbaugh is one of the best coaches. That's a Hall of Fame coach. He is. Harbaugh can rally the troops and do all that kind of stuff, but he's losing his team right now. And I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what they need to do, but this team, as MJF would say, this team is mid. That's what they are. They're middle of the ground. They're middle of the pack. There's nothing special right now about this team because they play half games. That's what it is. And it's they have all the talent. I think they can bounce back. We're only four games into the season. This team can do better. This team can make the playoffs. But if they're playing like this, where they're going to let teams come back and they're going to let games slip through their fingers, this team's not going to make the playoffs. It's really up to them because they're good enough. 100% they are good enough. They have the talent everywhere. They have the talent, but for whatever reason, they're losing faith in themselves.
Yeah, you bring up a lot of great points. You're right. This team is mid. The record speaks it. They're 500. They're 2-2. I will say this. I mean, being at the game live, you don't pick up on things. Obviously, you get for video replays and TV. Always like being at the games live anyway. But I get the whole let them score situation at the end, because we were talking about that in the stands amongst ourselves. Like, do you let them score on purpose here? And it looked like the defense wanted to. But I did see video replay that always objective to, like, I think what I heard what the objective was is he was trying to jar the football loose, but also, like, push him in the end zone at the same time, like, not tackle him short. But Calais Campbell tweeted out, and you've seen it. I'm sure you saw the video. Odafi did. He punched the ball. The ball almost came out. I knew it didn't, but it almost squirted out, and he figured how wet the weather was and the football – you're surprised it didn't fall on the ground. And could you imagine if that happened, the Ravens recover it?
Right.
Dude, all hell breaks loose in the stands. We're going nuts. Like, and then now we're saying, oh, he's brilliant. He went to make the tackle and he punched it out like the Ravens used to do, make a play. He was trying to make a play and it almost worked. I know almost doesn't absolve anything, but it almost worked. It'd be different if he tried to do it and the ball didn't move. And I'm like, but the effort was there. So I'll give him a little credit. So although I do agree, he should have probably let him score on purpose, I can also see why he did it. Look, the video evidence showed it. Okay, it almost happened. You're right. They can't close out games. I'm not confident that this can close out. And if the game's on the line, do you want this? Who do you want on the field? That's the question. Do you want the Ravens the ability to go punch it in for three, or, you know, kick three, or punch it in for seven? Or do you have the ability, or do you want to rely on the defense to stop somebody to win the game? What's more frustrating is they did the week before against the Patriots. You know, how the Dolphins, they fell flat in the fourth quarter collapse. The Ravens created three fourth quarter turnovers, in my memory serves correct. You know, they stopped the ability for the Patriots to win that game and preserve the victory for the Ravens. You know, you can't trust this team right now. We've always talked about identity crisis, and we don't know who they are. You know, yeah, number eight, still the fourth, the fifth best option right now for odds for NFL MVP still, but number eight's got to put the cape on and play like an MVP. That's what I'm saying. Like, the game is on the line, and he doesn't make that play. Like, I literally said that too, and I wanted to root for him so bad, right? He gets under center. Number eight, let's see what you got. Fourth down, game's on the line. And now look, and I can't waver because I feel like an idiot if I go back and say what I said. But initially, knee-jerk reaction in the stands, when they lined up, when I saw they weren't, like, I thought they were going to run Justin Tucker out there originally, right? I was expecting it. But when they didn't, and I was like, oh, they're going for it, my immediate reaction out of my mouth said, three ain't going to beat this team. Seven is.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like at that time, I get it, right? Hindsight's always easy. And I think Harbaugh said in presser, right? Well, if they kicked it and then they go down and score a touchdown, then you would have been crucifying them. Well, why didn't you go for it? You know, you score a touchdown. The fact of the matter is the Bills went right down the field with ease anyway.
Yep.
And everybody, look, they stopped going to one because they did on purpose because all they need was a chip shot field. They need to get seven. They could have. It was kind of like, that was more embarrassing. They could have gotten in, but just decided to kneel on. I mean, Allen could have just ran a quarterback sneak, and they could have gotten a touchdown at the end of the game. They still went right down the field. So if they kick three, and then they go right down the field with ease and score a touchdown, then what? What's the – I asked everybody, what is the excuse then? You include – I'm just posing that question. What's the excuse or what's the problem now? The Ravens kick it to take the points, and the Bills go right down and score a touchdown. They still would lose the game. When they immediately lined up, my initial reaction exactly was that, oh, touchdown's going to win the game. The field goal's not. Because I already knew, and I didn't have faith in this team's ability to stop the Bills. The Bills were doing whatever they want and call it what it is, conspiracy or not. The refs were helping. Refs weren't doing us any favors. They caught a ticky-tacky call against Mark Andrews on a measly push-off, which really didn't help. They missed a obvious pass interference call against DeMarcus Robinson on the Bills defender, who actually caught the game-sealing touchdown at the time, which was obnoxious. You know, you've seen it. You know, the Ravens were getting the calls, and the Bills were. It was obvious. You know, I lost all respect for Josh Allen, and I'll say this publicly, when he pounded the turf, soliciting the flag. If you got solicited for it, it's not a penalty. I don't care. And even Dwight Freeney said he retired at the right time because that was an atrocious roughing the passer call. That kept the drive alive. If I remember, Brandon, was that third down and stop? If I remember correctly, when like third and seven, and they blitzed him and got to him. I can't remember if it was second or third down. It was close.
Yeah, I'm not positive what
anyway,
that was.
That's the problem I have is, again, you were already playing against uphill battle with not stopping the Bills, and then you had to play in the refs' hands where, let's say you stopped them, you're going to wait for a phantom flag. Like, oh, it's going to keep the drive alive. So hate to be like that, but the way I see it, that's what it was. And I just think there's a conspiracy there that could be true somehow where NFL could be somehow keeping these games close on purpose. I don't know. But it was blatantly obvious that the game wasn't called down the middle. Whether you were for the Bills or against them or for the Ravens or against, it doesn't matter. Watching it from an unbiased opinion or a biased opinion, same thing. You know, the refs were more in favor of the team up north than they were for the home team. I don't know. And you know me. We talked about it a lot of times, especially last year with the whole two-point convergence and not. I'm aggressive by nature. I like to go get it. No risk it, no biscuit. I'm always like that. And then everybody's like, well, you got to have a feel for the game. They couldn't score a second half point, take the points then. Three points. Think about this as a playoff game, right? You don't play next week. You're probably still going for it, right? Are you taking the points? I don't know. Yeah, and I get it. It doesn't give the defense much credit, but I look at back at this. Let's say if they take the field goal and take the points. You think about the home crowd. They're energized. We got the lead. Maybe gives the defense some life. All right, we got the lead. Let's preserve it. I don't know. But I feel like, look, you can have a conversation all day that the Ravens didn't get in for the first three times. So let's swallow the pride, take the point, right? Take the three instead of the seven. If you know you're going to line up and go for it, you better know you're going to get it. Not if, not let's give us a chance to get it. And from where I was in the stands, because the play was on my end of the field in the stands. From first glance, because everybody was talking online, oh, this so-and-so was wide open. So and so is wide open. And I saw the video replay. You're right. Devin Duvernay had the whole right side of the end zone. He was wide open. Yeah. But at the same time, what I saw live and what I also saw in video evidence was by the time I looked and seen the play develop, Lamar is being chased down by two defenders wearing white jerseys. The line didn't hold. By the time Lamar set, he had to roll out, and it caused him to roll out and disrupt the play. The line didn't hold. So I just felt like the execution, and there was a poll going on social media, right? What do you blame at the last? Do you blame the coaching? Do you blame I think the poll winning selection was the players execute, like the inability for players to execute. They didn't execute the play. They score there. It's 27-20. Ravens probably win. And I get it, right? The scenario. They kick the field goal. You force the Bills to have to score a touchdown to beat you instead of kicking a measly field goal to win it or to send it, or the very worst, they kick it and send it to overtime where you can have a chance. I don't know. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer, man. I think it's all about opinion and what you feel vindicated wise. You take the points of your head coach, great. Okay, then you force them to get a touchdown to win you. If you get a touchdown there, then they got to get a touchdown to tie. You almost hit the hand. Again, I'm aggressive no matter what I do. In the way I am in life, that's what I am. I go for it. You know. Again, I play poker recreationally. I don't play professionally, obviously. But I'm the same way. You take risks. It's a calculated risk. And I hear the whole analytics thing thrown around. Like, well, the analytics say blah, blah, blah. I get it, right? You know, I would say to Harbaugh, I challenge him. Again, throw the analytics out the window. Have a feel for the game. You know? I don't know, but I'm going to live and die on the hill that go for it because that's just who I am as a person. I'm not conservative. And I feel like too many times in this Ravens history, have I seen kicking field goals being conservative and then seen teams go right down, score a touchdown. And I'm like, why can't we score a touchdown? Like, why do we have to let the other team do it? Like that, I think I was frustrated for so long, whether it was under the Kyle Bola, Brian Billick era, or it was under Harbaugh and Flacco era earlier. I've seen in my history, sitting in the stands and watching this team, how many times did the Ravens settle for three because they can't get in the end zone and then they lose. So I don't know. Maybe I just, I don't know. I go back to 2019 where they were ultra aggressive and they can score touchdowns left and right. Number eight's got to do a better job. You know, I put it solely on his shoulders and I put it on the whole day. It was a team collapse in the second half. Defense couldn't stop. Offense didn't score a single point. That's what it is. It was a total collapse. The Dolphins game was a total defensive collapse because I mean the Ravens scored 38 points. You know, they gave them a 21 point lead. What's more sickening is the graphic that I saw. The Ravens were winning 20-3 in this game with 9 seconds to go in the second quarter. Nine. They were winning 35-14 with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And they lost both games. The Ravens in their two home losses have lost the lead. They say basically they didn't hold the lead for 14 seconds. 14!
14.
That is embarrassing, and it's disgusting. When you read that, you're like, how? How? They had the lead up until like the last 15 seconds on the clock, and then it's over. You got to close out these teams, and I'm getting sick of it. But right now, you're right, they're mid. We're frustrated in Ravens Nation. We left disgusted again on a home game, and we saw the stats. We were actually talking on the way home. When was the last time we left M&T Bank Stadium with a W? You have to go back to mid last year. They've lost 5 straight home games dating back, I think, to last year or something like that, or 3 or 4. You know, it's been a while, and they're a better road team. Both their wins this year on the road, and both losses are at home. So the record shows you almost want to pick the Bengals to win this game Sunday night because the Ravens can't close out the games, let alone win at home. So until they do, what do you do? I don't know, but looking at if you want to start previewing the game, I look at Sunday now as a playoff game. I don't know about you, man. I know it's early, it's week 5, but I almost want to put a must win on this thing. Like, and the conclusions were drawn in comparison to other years, right? 2019, they got embarrassed by the Browns at home. They go 2-2. Remember, it was 40-25. They couldn't do anything. Lost the divisional opponent in that same fashion, and then they got win 12 straight. The season's not lost by any stretch of means. This isn't week 13, 14, or 15 where they just lost a grip on a playoff spot. It's week 4. If you look in the totality of things in the AFC, They're one game behind for the best record in the conference. Four games and the best record is 3-1. So there's no big gap separation where the Ravens are like 8-5 and the Chiefs are like 10-2 or something like that. And they're like, okay, well, they're whatever. Like, there's no a big gap. Like, yeah, I know tiebreakers right now play, but it's week 4. But just looking at the game, because the way the Bengals started 0-2, now they're 2-2. And if they were to win against the Ravens and they won 3 straight and the Ravens are now under 500 and you've lost three now games to a AFC opponent, you know, for tiebreaker seeding, it doesn't look well. So that's why, given the situation right now where the Ravens have to right the ship, I'm putting a must win on Sunday. I think it's a playoff game and it's a playoff atmosphere. I don't know. I mean, I might be getting ahead of myself here, but I don't know. I mean, a couple of my buddies were talking off the ledge, like, look, it's week 4. They have plenty of time to write it out, but I don't know. I think for momentum's sake and where things stand morally with, like, the morale with the team, I'm dubbing this as a must win. I don't know.
It's under the lights. It's at home at the bank. It's going to be a blackout game. The Ravens are going to be in their all black unis. But you remember in, like, you know, sitcoms or whatever, or movies, and it was like the kid got in trouble by the mom, and it's like, wait till your dad gets home. Wait till your dad gets home, and he's going to take care of you. The Ravens are bringing in Nelly for the halftime show, and with Nelly, you know Ray Lewis is coming. So it's kind of like the Ravens are like,
show up, I'm going to be highly disappointed, because you can't have Nelly perform live on this kind of game and not have Ray Ray in the building.
He has to be in the building, but you know, it's that feeling where it's like, all right, John Harbaugh, he's losing the team. These guys aren't on the same page, yada, yada, yada. Wait till dad comes home. They're like, get Ray Lewis on the phone. He'll get there. He'll go to the locker room. He'll be able to rah-rah the troops. He'll be able to do one of his Ray Lewis speeches, get everybody motivated, and they're going to come out, you know, just ready to play. That's what I'm predicting. I agree with you. This is a must win, but I think also having Ray Lewis in the house is going to give that extra little push in the right direction for the Ravens. Let's have him there every single week. Let's have him there just to do motivational speeches at the beginning of each game, and we'll start winning again. That's what we need. I think that's what it's going to be like on Sunday. Let's talk about Sunday. Cincinnati Bengals, AFC North Divisional game. It's a 4-point game, is like they say in hockey when you're up against a divisional rival. It's a 4-point game. It's a big one. It's a for those of you that don't watch hockey,
I mean, what the puck, see? Your 4-point game, see?
So for those of you that watch hockey, you know, at the end of a game you get 2 points. If you're playing somebody in your division, you're getting 2 points. You're not letting your opponent get 2 points, so they get 0. So that's what it means by a 4-point game. You're really playing for 2 points, and then they don't get anything. So that's what it means. I know there was some confusion when I brought that up last year, so I just want to kind of explain that if you're not a hockey fan. That's what this is. Ravens are up against the Super Bowl contender that was last year, the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow. And the Bengals have lit up the Ravens last year. I mean, I think, what did I read? It was like 80 points or something like that they were able to put up against the Ravens last year. This is a big one. Joe Burrow's getting off to a really slow start with the Cincinnati Bengals. They weren't looking great in the first couple weeks. They've kind of been able to bounce back. This is going to be a big one, though. This is a big game for these Ravens to play. They have to come out. Like you said, it's a must win. I completely agree with you. This is 110% a must win for the Ravens. They're at home. They got to break that losing streak. They're in their all black unis. They're under the lights. It's on national television. Lamar's done really well in prime time. I think the Harbaugh era, he's gone like 18-2 in prime time. So this is a big deal for the Ravens. This is a must win. Potentially Ray Lewis is going to be in the house. That's what we need to see. We need to see these guys coming out. And somebody else who I'm very excited, hopefully, to make his debut. Ronnie Stanley was a full participant on Wednesday. He is not on the injury report for practice. I'm thinking Sunday potentially could be Ronnie Stanley's first game back in a Ravens uniform. I'm hoping that's what we're going to see. I don't know if we will or not, but that's my hope. If Ronnie Stanley is back on the field on Sunday, what kind of boost do you think that's going to give to Lamar in this offense?
You know what? I love the fact that we're going to get some players back, right? You know, Gus Edwards activated off the pup list. He was spotted practice today. McCarry.
He's looked good in practice too, Gus Edwards.
Did. He did, and that's why I want to talk about it. So, because I heard a lot of folks being on the negative side of things, like, oh, just because he's activated, might not be played. Oh, I think he's playing Sunday night. No ifs or buts. I mean, I don't think he'd be – now, knowing how the Ravens are with these injuries, I thought Stanley was playing Sunday, and he was still inactive. So, I wouldn't be shocked if Edwards was still saved for the next game and not rushed out there. But – I think you got to play him, even if it's for a few snaps, you got to play him. But yeah, he did look in practice. So, from relatively speaking, Ravens are going to get bodies back. They're healthy for the most part. You know, everything's set up for a bounce back game. But I will say this: do you rather have the Ravens have the lead against the Bengals, or do you rather them try to come from behind? You got Burrow, Jamar Chase, defending AFC champions, defending division champions. You know, the Ravens haven't shown at home that they can hold a lead. I even joked and said, I almost, the way the Bills game went, I was like, I'd rather have the Ravens losing 23 and have to come back and make that deficit up. You know, I mean, I hate to be like that, but no lead has been safe here. And you have to feel that with the Ravens' ability to, you know, inability to close out games, I'd rather the Ravens not score as many points in the beginning of the game and go, okay, let's pick it up and let's just start pouring it on. But I wouldn't want to trust his defense with the game on the line with Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow out there. I'll tell you that right now. And T. Higgins, because they're going to do damage. And again, Ravens secondary is going to be tested, have their hands full with these guys. We know what they're about. We played them last year. The Bengals are still making fun of us for last year when Burrow put up, what, like 500 yards passing, and they blew us out last year where we blew them out in 2019 when Lamar had his infamous spin move. So it's our first divisional game of the year. It's our first primetime game of the year, only primetime game at home. They weren't all black. It's defending AFC championships. The Bengals were in the Super Bowl last year. Everybody's going to be watching it. It's Sunday night, NBC. This is it. And it's time for the Ravens to hopefully put all the past behind them and go out. And hopefully can blow the doors off of them. If not, hopefully they can close out a close game this time and seal the victory. Just because it is black uniforms and the Bengals are coming to town and it's Nelly performing at halftime and the bank and it's prime time and we're hungry for the, for win and how important this is. No, I hate to say this, but I am going to side of the Ravens as much as I almost want to pick against them in this game. I feel like if this was a 1 o'clock game at home, maybe I'm picking the Bengals. But even if it's in Cincinnati, I'm probably definitely picking the Bengals just because the ingredients are there. I think it propels the team to help them, the ingredients for a win there. But and I think with the Ravens, they're not playing to their full potential. They're too good to play like this. And that's what sucks. That's what's disappointing. I mean, a lot of my friends were like, what happened? I thought the Ravens had the best secondary in football. And I said, hey, can't put this game on paper, bro. Like, they were paper champs. When you looked at the league starting the year, the secondary the Ravens had, none better on paper. None better. You obviously got to go out there and do the skills and play the football games, right? You got to play games. They're not making plays, and they're not gelling as a team right now. I don't think that cohesiveness is there from the 2019 season. You know, I thought we would have that swagger back. Marcus Peters is back. You know, Lamar wants to prove it. Lamar was on a tear in the first 3 weeks and then hit the wall. You only had one touchdown passing and two interceptions, 144 yards. You know, there's only 28 for 29 passing. Numbers weren't there. They were very pedestrian, subpar. He's got to play better. I went to Lamar that played the first 3 weeks of this year. What happened to the five total touchdowns? And weather could have played a factor, but hey, Philly Eagles played up there, up north on I-95 against the Jaguars the same day in the same rainstorm, and they look like killers. So why ain't the Ravens look like killers? Same rainstorm. So, and Bills had to play in it too. I don't care. You can call the weather all you want. It wasn't like it was one-sided, you know. So Ravens are – they have too much talent, and the guys are back and the key players are back and the injuries that they had last year, that they can't afford to play like this anymore. And if they do, like you said, somebody's going to be losing jobs, whether it's a coordinator, whether it's a head coach, whether Lamar leaves town. I don't know. You know what the future holds for this team. But right now, the future is this Sunday. And it's one game at a time, and it's the Bengals next. Can't look at the next game. Can't look at games a month from now. can look at what it might be looking like record-wise or what the division might look like. The fact remains is hey, the Ravens play a divisional opponent for essentially first place right now. The Ravens are 2-2 tied with the Bengals and Browns, and Steelers are 1-3. The Steelers' next four games are against the Bills, the Dolphins, the Buccaneers, the Eagles. The Steelers could be well out of it. They could be 1-7 or 2-6 in the next 4 weeks, so who cares about them? They're starting the rookie for the time being for the remainder of the year, and it's the Kenny Pickett era in Pittsburgh. We know what it is. We're not there yet. We get them later in the year twice. But it's like I said before, yeah, it's a must-win, and I'm dubbing it a must-win, and you agree with me on that statement, but the season's not lost. I mean, yeah, if they go 2-3, it might seem like it's lost, but, dude, I picked the team to go 12-5. So if they lost the third one this early, maybe they'll go 11-6. I don't know. But, you know, there's plenty of football games left, but with each mounting loss and with each mounting lead that gets away, it's mounting frustration, and it doesn't it does not go well or spell well for the team's camaraderie, the team gelling, and the team getting closer. You know, they always preach the whole 1-2-3 family and the post game and all that. They're bickering and fighting like families, aren't they? I mean, you got Marcus Peters, and I still don't know what it's about. You know, obviously I was at the game. I didn't see the explosion, and I saw the video that Peters had to be held back from Harbaugh. Some are like, oh, I don't like that. It's not a good look. You know what? Good. Marcus, get pissed off because we're all pissed off, obviously. Marcus reacted how we all wanted to react. Like, what's going on? Like, come on. Obviously, Marcus is still heated because he had nothing for the media. That's why I started with the podcast. But I got nothing for you. You know, the old adage, you have anything nice to say, you don't say anything at all, right? Just be quiet. I don't even know if anybody knows, unless Marcus and Harbaugh only knew for sure. I don't think anybody really truly knows what it was about. People could be speculating that it could have been because Marcus is pissed because Harbaugh didn't trust the defense, or Marcus is pissed because they actually ended up winning the game and whatnot. I don't know. Or maybe he's pissed because they didn't let him score on purpose. Everybody's making up these things. But until we actually probably hear it from somebody, I actually haven't heard what it truly was about, unless you have, but I haven't. So, but you don't like to see that in week four going into week five already, that you got players, you have dissension. Again, it's not good for leadership. It's not good for team camaraderie, but you know, let's see what happens Sunday. For the sake of it, I just hope that Ravens don't implode before themselves, because if they do, it'll be very unfortunate for us all, because, again, they have way too much talent to be acting like this and playing like this, and it's sad.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I agree. There is way too much talent on this team for things going the way they are. You don't want
to
see
the Bills rope the rope. They were going to go with the Bills, and that's what sucks. They could have won that game easily, right? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, dude, I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting to see. Like, again, I'm like how the Dolphins game was. You know, I'm still going to pick the Ravens to win Sunday. I'm not going to get off my side and not picking staying neutral. But, dude, I don't know. I don't know where to go from here.
Well, let's look at the injury report from Wednesday. Rashad Bateman, I think you posted a picture on our call Facebook page about him walking out of Sunday's game in a boot. He did not participate on Wednesday due to a foot injury. Marcus Peters, he just had rest, as well as Calais Campbell. J.K. Dobbins had a chest issue. That might be why we didn't see him at the end of the game on Sunday. Justice Hill, he had a hamstring issue, which I think everybody saw that. He couldn't. He kind of finished a run. I'll give him credit. You can see that he pulled something, and then he was still trying to get a couple yards. He definitely had some grit. He looked great, by the way, Justice Hill. I was really shocked how good he looked on Sunday's game. So I am bummed to see that he is having a hamstring issue. And then Justin Houston, he's having a groin issue, so he did not participate in practice on Wednesday as well. Full participant Josh Bynes and Ronnie Stanley, so there is hope that those guys come back. But if I assume J.K. Dobbins will be back. I assume he will be playing. But J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, Rashad Bateman, those are three big names on this offense that potentially we will not see on Sunday. We're recording on Thursday about midday, so we don't have the injury report for Thursday. Let's hope that these guys will be able to practice. But that's a little scary to see Rashad Bateman leaving the game in a boot, potentially losing our number one wide receiver yet again, like he did last year. So that's a bit of a bummer. And the running game definitely takes a hit without J.K. Dobbins there. J.K. Dobbins has done absolutely phenomenal this season coming back. I mean, he's looked like a new man. Two touchdowns in the first half this past Sunday. So we definitely are a better team with J.K. Dobbins on the field. Let's hope he's there. Let's hope he can play. He might not be 100%, but let's hope he can play. And then Ronnie Stanley potentially coming back as well would be awesome. So we'll see what happens. But I don't know. You don't want to give a prediction, a score. I don't either. I'm a little worried. So I will say I agree with you. The Ravens, I can see being able to come away with a win. I think it's a must win. I think they have to. Shouldn't say that they could. They have to come away with a win against these Bengals. And it's going to be tough. Like you said, with the Cincinnati Bengals offense, they are a good group. They are very good. They are great on the field. I mean, look what they did to the Ravens last year. This is under the lights, prime time, nationwide. It's going to be all over the place. I think it's going to be a great game, but must win for the Ravens. It has to happen.
Oh, yeah, it has to happen. You said, I score predictions aside, I still think the Ravens can, you know, they got to win this game, and they should. You know, almost – it's crazy. Like you said, you don't know. You can pick them to lose. You can pick them to win. They're so mid, alluding to that right now. You really don't know who you're going to get. But, you know, for score's sake, I'll put one out there. You know what? And I'm not even going to put a prediction that the Ravens are going to have a lead and blow it kind of deal, or the Ravens are going to be playing from behind and come back and win it. But I'm going to say 27-23 Ravens on this one. I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be hotly contested. There's going to be some plays made on both sides, but in the end, I think the Ravens prevail somehow, some way, with all the fanfare and what's going on with them in the environment. So, can't wait to see it happen, but you got to stop, you know, stopping Ja'Marr Chase, Higgins, Joe Burrow in that passing attack against the secondary. We thought Hill and Waddle were going to be a test. Boy, they got work cut out for them now because they have another big test. And I mean, they did well against Stephon Diggs. I will say this, you know, Stephon Diggs was pretty much quiet the whole game. You know, I didn't really hear his name called much. I mean, yeah, he had a few chain mover catches, but he was relatively quiet. He didn't have no Monday night performance like he did a couple weeks ago where he had 100-something yards and 3 touchdowns. He had torched the Ravens by any stretch of the means. And I have to give kudos to Filele. He made his first NFL start. Von Miller, across from him, you know, a Pro Bowl and a Hall of Fame caliber player. And he pretty much handled the assignment and then some. So big round of applause there.
Absolutely.
Dude, I was so proud of that. So, again, there's some bright spots for this team that are lost in the sauce of all the chaos with the Ravens losing games like this. But I'm just disgusted how they do it. But you got to give props where these players are performing well. And I'm really happy about that. And, you know, I heard Patrick Queen's name come up. I hope he steps up and plays better. He over pursued on the pressure. He came up to my right. It was to Josh Allen's left. He came unblocked on the blitz, but over pursued in Josh Allen's thigh step, and that's where the scramble happened for the touchdown. So, you know, I just feel like hopefully, you know, there's plays to be made, but then I know they want some plays back. And but again, give it up to Dan, man. You know, having the assignment on the line. And if Stanley rejoins the ranks, I'd like to see what they do for the line, because Macari's going to be back in the mix as well. So, but he filled in nicely, and I was proud of him.
Yeah, absolutely. There have been some major bright spots in these 4 weeks. The two might be losses, two might be wins, but there's some great talent on this team. Like you said it, I've said it many times on this show. This team is too good to be 2-2. They're too good. There's too much talent on this team. They just got to get it together. They just got to get it together. They got to work together. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but it's these guys are – there's so much talent. Filele, I think he has looked – he's looked good. He has. Von Miller, you know, is very, very few times he was able to get to Lamar. So is that it for the show? Are we done for this week?
I sure hope so. Oh, wait. Yeah, I'm just messing with you. I was going to say, let the other shoe to drop on this one. Yeah, I think we got it covered, brother. To see what happens on Sunday in another great installment of Ravens football. High drama, right? High drama. But we finally reached the end of it. Quote the Raven, never mow.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Go over to our Discord server, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Follow us over there. check us out. We do a game day chat, and if you want us to do some live Q&A stuff, let us know. We'll do some premium content over for you over on Discord. Go over to check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever we find anything we think is interesting for about football or the Ravens, we always post it over on our Facebook page, as well as our Discord. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listened to the call, and you should too. And by the way, did you guys check it out? Josh was on a Buffalo Bills podcast last week. If you didn't get your fill of Josh from just our show, you could have heard him again on the Buffalo Bills. What was that like, man? Did you enjoy being in, like, enemy territory?
Yeah, I did. It was a good. It was good. I think Brad and them for and Alex to let me or invited me. She said, "Let me invite me on the show." So I shout out to those guys. It was great to be invited to the podcast. I'm sorry you couldn't join. I know you were busy with some other things, but I had some time on my hands, allowed me to get there, and it was a great interview. I appreciate those guys reaching out, and I love to collaborate with them again, whether it be previewing a playoff game or a future game for us. And it's great to we've had some good podcasters reaching out to us through the ranks. I mean, we were featured, member of the Bears podcast before. I know the Browns podcast as well. So we have some friends out there. So we appreciate any and all. And we'll say then, Brandon, thank you for the birthday wishes. And thank you for all that stopped on my personal page in the call Facebook to wish me happy birthday. I appreciate it. It was great. And I'm still celebrating. So it's been great overall. But fortunately, the Ravens didn't close it out in fashion to give me that win against the Bills. But look, I was with my dad. I was with my friends tailgating and at the game. So at the end of the day, it didn't really change my life and perspective. I've grown up in a sense where, it's disappointing that, your team didn't get the dub and all that and they didn't get the win. But, it was a great day amongst family and friends. So I always appreciate that.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, I'm glad you've had a good birthday. Hopefully the Ravens, they didn't give you a wrapped up W this past Sunday, but hopefully they'll give you a belated birthday present this Sunday. Put that W on, nice little bow on top, and then we can get some Eric Weddle birthday victory ice cream. Maybe
I missed that back.
I know. Anyway, so that's it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
You betcha, man. Thank you very much. And here it comes, Sunday night under the lights. I can't wait. As the old man said, waiting all day for Sunday night as Carrie Underwood always belts out. And it's going to be a great one. Starting the festivities off right. Me and my homeboy doing Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Can't wait to get it popping. We're going to do the party right on Sunday Footballs Only and hosted by the one and only. We can't close out the show without mentioning the one and only Jimmy Smith. What a great career. I know the press conference, we were all anxious because of how the game ended, and the Ravens had a surprise 3:30 press conference, so we didn't want to end the show without, celebrating the career of 11 years with Jimmy Smith and Super Bowl champion as he is. Who could never forget his play on the final drive of Super Bowl 47 on that goal line stand, and he was involved in two of the plays. He knocked the ball out on the sideline, and then the infamous fourth down play against Crabtree. I think he was involved in that. So, we appreciate his career. And like I said, on the call, are you going to suit up Sunday? Because we need you. We need all the secondary help. But it was good to see, his current former players, they're still on the team, and then former players in the building, take a team photo with him and girls celebrate his career. So, congrats to Jimmy for the retirement. He's hosting Jimmy Seafood tailgate on Sunday night. I'll be there for a couple hours, and all black unis, my favorite, Brandon. I can't wait.
Yeah.
The one, and I kind of wish that the Bengals would have seen if they're all white for this one. Go all black versus all white. I was a little disappointed, but I see why they did it with the Thursday night home thing. I'm not lying. They were pretty cool looking, even though I joked and they said they looked like zebras, more like tigers, but because of the white and black stripes, but they were actually pretty hot looking, man. I'm not going to lie. I was enjoying that. So kudos to that uniform combo, but we can do one better in the blackout Antrim City on the hinges of what was it? Yeah, it's Edgar Allan Poe weekend, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
October 7th. So I think everything's fitting for an October date under the lights, early October. It's going to be crisp, cool, no rain. Rain is out of here. It's sunshine here in the area, and I think it's going to be a good night for a Bengals loss. How's that? And send them back home under 500. And can't wait to get it all popping off with you. Wherever you are, whether you're down at the bank, whether you're watching on TV, enjoy this one because it's going to be one to be had. Ravens, how about it? Are we going to close out the game this time? Are we going to actually do it this time? I implore you, do whatever it takes. What? For goodness sakes, how about it? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.